that meant that I had to leave the motel at 4. That meant I had to get up at 3. And I don't trust those phones to go off, so I didn't sleep real good, you know, checking the phones. And then I had a 5-hour layover in Atlanta. Yeah. Okay, Deuteronomy 4. Let's stand together. We'll honor the reading of the Word of God. Deuteronomy 4. I'm going to pick up verse number 9. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse number 9. The Bible says, "Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently." It says, take heed to thyself. You know, guys, some people spend more time taking heed to other people than they do themselves. And themselves are usually a capital M, capital E, capital S mess. Are y'all with me? Take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently. You know, sort of like how you keep up with your social media and your texting and your Instagrams and stuff like that, you know. That lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. We have a responsibility to pass stuff down to the next generation. Especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they live upon the earth, that they may teach their children. And he came near and stood under the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire unto the midst of heaven, with darkness, clouds, and thick darkness. And the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of the fire. Ye heard the voice of the words, but saw no similitude. Only he heard a voice. And he declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, even 10 commandments. And he wrote them upon the tables of thy stone. Do you see the correlation I'm trying to draw for y'all? I know this is about the nation of Israel, but those of you that are saved, this is a story about us. So he said in verse 14, and the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments. That's what you have a pastor for. Amen. They're supposed to preach to you. Amen. They're supposed to tell you what you're doing wrong. Amen. That's what the Bible says. And that you might do them in the land whither you go over to possess it. Take ye therefore good heed unto... you know, the Bible's got some good counsel for us. Amen. Mind your own business. Amen. Good heed unto yourselves, for ye saw no manner of similitude on the day that the Lord spake unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire. I want you to, just for time's sake, go to verse 24. For the Lord thy God is a consuming, even a jealous God. Verse 33, you know, y'all know what jealousy is? Amen. Would you like to see jealousy in action? I wouldn't recommend it. Amen. But if you really want to see it in action, one of you guys, you go over to Erica, start putting the moves on her. Now if Peter is a real man, he will rearrange your face. Amen. In Christian love. Amen. That's jealousy. Amen. She's mine. Keep your hands off of her. How about your relationship with the Lord? He's a consuming fire, even a jealous God. Now let's slide down to verse 33. Did ever people hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire, as thou hast heard and live? And then go to verse 36. Out of heaven he made thee to hear his voice, that he might instruct thee, and upon earth he showed thee his great fire, and thou heardest his words out of the midst of the fire. Lord, I sure love you. Lord, I ask you for your help now, your touch, your anointing to preach what you've put on my heart. Lord, I pray that you would bless your people, that they would have a heart to believe the word of God, and it would change their lives. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, don't get mad at me. I did get this together in the airport yesterday. I had a five-hour layover. I wanted to redeem the time, and so, you know, I worked on it a little bit last night, and then I finished it up this morning, and so have grace with me, okay? Fire. You know in your Bible, fire is a description or a manifestation of God. Go to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter number 3. Look at verse number 2 in Exodus chapter 3. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, Moses, in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Now, you all know that story. The bush, you know, the Lord spoke out of that burning bush. In 1 Kings chapter 18, remember when Elijah went up against the prophets of Baal? And in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 24, they said, let's get the sacrifices together. You yo-yos, you get your bullock, I'll get mine. And he said, the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. Go with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians. Do you know, those of you that are saved, you have an appointment with fire? Yeah, you do. Yeah, we'll find out just exactly how sincere we all were. How much we were just putting on the dog, trying to impress other people, as opposed to doing something for the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 13. Did I say 13? I meant 3. Verse 13. I'm sorry. I usually have all my verses marked. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 13. Bible says, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by what? Fire. Wood, hay, and stubble gets what? Burned up. Gold, silver, precious stones? It just comes out. Because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work, of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, yet, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Go with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. I'm just trying to illustrate for you that our Lord will be described or manifested by fire. Anybody here ever been involved in a fire? You have? I have a brother-in-law, and his place burned down. And he, one of his comments to me afterwards, when they were trying to pick up the pieces and stuff, is he said, Mike, I never realized how much I lost in that fire. That's what? Irreplaceable. Guys, once you go on to heaven, you can't go back and change anything. You get no redos. You get no do-overs. Man, if you're going to do something for the Lord, you better do it. Amen. You better do it now. And so 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, I'm going to pick up in verse 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire. You know, the liberals want to paint this lovey-dovey God that, you know, it's just a smiley face on a bumper or something like that. That's not God. That's not a realistic description of our Lord. In verse 8, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. Listen, if you're here this morning and you're not saved, you're going to a devil's hell. The Lord will drop you off in the lake of fire, and you'll suffer pain and agony and suffering and the screaming of the damned forever. And it doesn't matter what you say about what you thought or how you felt. God dealt with your heart about getting saved. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You get to that judgment seat of Christ, you go, oh, Lord, I'm sorry. I thought it was okay that I did this or that or the other thing. Lord said, no, you had a book, you had a preacher, you had a church, you had the Holy Ghost. There is no excuse. Revelation chapter 1 talks about our Lord, his eyes were as a flame of fire. Go with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 5, if you would, please. John, chapter 5. Young preachers, see how I'm trying to lay a framework here, a foundation for fire? That's what you want to do when you preach. Now, some will get it. Some wouldn't get it if you painted it on their nose, okay? John chapter 5. Look at verse 35 with me. He was a burnt. Does anybody know who he's talking about here? He was a, could I get a man to answer? It's John the Baptist. Who Jesus said what? As those that were born of men, there's not a greater than John the Baptist. He was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. You know what I've seen, Dan? I've seen lots of people for a season enjoy the things of God, and do the things of God, and then after a season, they quit. They compromised. They gave up. They went to the world. So John chapter 5, we see that fire, being on fire, being a shining and a bright light, is an example or a description of a Christian or the Christian life. You know what we used to say, Pastor Matt? We used to say, he's on fire for God. You know when Mike Cronk got saved up there and you and him started getting on, you know what everybody said? Those two guys are on fire for God. Amen. Today, you know what there is? There's a lack of fire. Amen. Oh, you guys know everything about football, hockey, golf, guns, ammunition, politicians. What about the Lord? What about the things of God? What about the souls of men and women? Man, you can go to this, and you can go to that, and you can do this, and you can do that, but what about fishing for the souls of men? Amen. There needs to be fire today. Amen. There needs to be fire in the pulpit. Amen. You know what would help fire in the pulpit? You people coming in hungry, having prayed for the preacher. You know, I see some people come down and pray, and I'm not sure you're there for 5 seconds. What can you pray in 5 seconds at an altar? You should be praying for the services. You should be praying for the preacher. And if your wicked heart is not right, you ought to get right with God before church starts. There needs to be fire in the pulpit. I'm going to pray. I'm going to study. Pastor Matt's going to pray. He's going to get ready. There needs to be fire in the pulpit. But there needs to be fire in the pew, too. Amen. Sit there like a bunch of dead wood and Indians. Make faces because your sin gets preached on. Make faces because your group didn't get up to sing. Sit there because it's too long, too short. There's no fire. Amen. How much did you pray for me? I mean, some couldn't even say hello to me. No, I was so hurt. Went in the bathroom, took half a baby aspirin, and I feel a whole lot better now. There needs to be fire in the pew. A young preacher went to D.L. Moody one time, Peter, and he said, "Preacher," he said, I want to serve the Lord. I want to do a good job for the Lord." He says, "I'm starting this church." He said, "What should I do?" And Moody said something like this. He said, "Son, you need to set yourself on fire and burn for the Lord, and they'll come watch you." So this is the message I want to preach. I want to preach what will keep the fire burning. Lori, I am not interested going out lukewarm. I'm not. When I got saved, I was on fire for God. Now, there's times in my life I got cold. There's times in my life I got backslid. But I got back on fire again. That's what I want. I want to get on fire. I want to be on fire. So what will keep the fire burning? Number one, the Word of God, the Scriptures. Go with me to Jeremiah chapter 20. Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9. This book is not a novel. This book is not something... This book is supposed to change your life. Amen. Okay? Listen, you know I exhort you to read your Bible. It's important to read your Bible. But it's not just reading. You're supposed to get something out of that. That book is supposed to change your life. It's not, Dan, it's not just putting a check mark on your daily Bible reading and say, I checked it off. It's supposed to be getting something from God.
Amen.
Somebody asked Tom Malone, I don't know if you know, he was a preacher out in, I think it was Detroit, Michigan, and pretty well known. And somebody asked him, how do you read your Bible? And he said this. He said, I start in Genesis, and he says, every day I read until the Lord speaks to my heart. He says, sometimes I'll read a chapter, sometimes I'll read several pages. He said, but I'm going to read until then. Now, I'm not telling you to do that. I'm just telling you what one man said. And the thought is this, that book should talk to you.
Amen.
You shouldn't just click it off just because you read it. That book should talk to you. I'm in Jeremiah chapter 20. Look with me in verse number 7. This is Jeremiah. He says, O Lord, thou hast deceived me. Is that true? Huh? Did the Lord deceive Jeremiah? No. Did he think he did? Yes. Thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. You know what Jeremiah is here? He's discouraged. He's discouraged. Somebody says it's a sin to be discouraged. Okay? I don't 100% agree with that. I think it's a sin to stay discouraged. We all get discouraged for crying out loud. We are flesh and blood. Verse 8. For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name. What did he say? I quit preaching. I ain't doing this no more. I'm not preaching no messages. I'm not teaching no Sunday school. I am not saying. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing. And I could not stay.
Amen.
That book will help you keep the fire going.
Amen.
Not just reading black words on white paper. But letting that book talk to your heart. Turn with me to Psalm 39, if you would. Psalm 39. The Bible says in Psalm 39, verse number 3. Well, Jeremiah. Hey, you read that. He had a discouraging ministry, didn't he? God kept giving him messages to preach. And what did the Jews think about it? They didn't like any of it. They didn't believe any of it. I mean, they liked his preaching so much, they stuck him in a dungeon.
Right.
How's that? I mean, you know, he wasn't even getting health care paid for or anything like that. Psalm 39, verse 3. My heart was hot within me while I was musing, the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue. What was he musing on? The scripture. The Word of God. Now, I've used this before, and it's true. You know that if you take the word A and put it in front of anything, it means what? In other words, people say this about America. America is no longer a Christian nation, and America is an immoral nation, right? I say that's not true. I say America is amoral. That means what? No more. So muse, I looked up muse in the old dictionary this morning, and the old dictionary says muse is deep thought, contemplation, pondering, meditation, amongst other things. Y'all know about that. Listen to me. Not many of us take time to muse on the Word of God. You know, we want to get our chapters read, our pages read. We're not going to stop and think about what we read. Consider it. Meditate on it. Apply it. No, what Americans have is a muse. They don't want to think. They don't want to ponder. They want to be amused. Entertainment. Mickey Mouse. Donald Duck. Mighty Mouse. Sports. Movies. What are y'all watching on your stupid devices, man? You can do that for hours, and you can't spend any time in the Word of God. That fire is going to go out. So the Scriptures, you ought to be in your Bible. You ought to read your Bible. That should not be the only time you pick up your Bible. It is not a sin to pick up your Bible and do a little studying in the evening. That would interfere with my TV watching, with my internet browsing, with my Instagram catch-up. Oh, those are your priorities, huh? I don't know about you. I like it when the Lord talks to me. Now, I don't always like what he has to say to me. Amen? It's like some of you aren't liking what I have to say to you this morning. Look at me. I don't care. I know my heart's right. I know it's your heart that's not right. And you can fake it all you want, you faker. That fire's going to burn up your works and you'll have nothing. And everybody will see you were a faker. The Scriptures, I'll keep the fire burning. You know something else to keep the fire burning? The Savior. Go to Luke chapter 24 with me. I sure love the Lord.
Amen.
Appreciate it, Pastor Matt, doing that this morning. He loves us. We know that. What about us loving him? Amen. I'll tell you. You know, I love my wife. Love her a whole lot more than I used to. And let's see, we texted probably 2 or 3 times a day. Different times. And then I called you a couple times a day. That's the only good thing about these stupid phones, that when you're away, that you can stay in contact with your loved one, you know. Y'all didn't like that, did you? Well, you say you love the Lord. How can you go days on end and not pray? And not read his book? Not talk about him? I probably had a dozen women come up to me this past week and go, when are you bringing your wife? They go, we have heard you talk about her so much, we feel like we know her, but we've never met her. I said to them, that's why I'm not bringing her, because I've lied about her. No, I didn't say that. You know what's in your heart, you just got to talk about it.
Amen.
I'm in Luke 24. Now, you know the story, and for time's sake, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but this is the story about the road to Emmaus. Are you all with me? Look at verse 13. And behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs, and they talked together all the things that had happened. These guys are discouraged, aren't they? Why are they discouraged? Because they were looking for a conqueror to come. And the Lord came as the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. So they're discouraged. You know, they wanted to see the Romans get whipped. They wanted to see the Jews bossing the Romans around. And so that's not how it went. And so you know the story. They hooked up with the Lord and they didn't recognize the Lord. And they start talking to the Lord. Pick up verse 25 with me. Then he said unto them, now who's he? And he said unto them, that's got to be a misprint, doesn't it? Oh, what? What did he call them? Fools. How do you feel when I call you a fool? We get all bent out of shape. The Lord called these guys fools. He said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter in his glory? Why did he call them fools and slow to heart? They had the Bible.
Amen.
They had the Word of God.
Amen.
And they didn't believe it. And so the Bible says in verse number 27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Boy, that must have been a great message. I don't know how you I don't know what you do when you get to heaven, if you're on sermonaudio.com or you're on the tape club. I want to hear that message. And so they drew nigh to the village, you know. But look at verse number 29. But they constrained him. Remember, the Lord was going to just move on. And it says they what? How, does anybody know what constrained means? Pretty physically. Constrained them. In other words, they exerted. They wanted him to be. How bad do you want the Lord to be in your heart and life? They constrained him. Abide with us. Verse 30, and it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave it to them, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of that. Why did they know him at that time? But he reached those hands out, and they saw those wounds in his hands. And then he vanished out of their sight. Look what the Bible says, verse 32. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures, our Savior. How can you go a day and not thank the Lord for dying on Calvary for you? How can you go a day and not muse on the suffering, the agony, the pain, the humiliation that Jesus Christ went through to pay for your sin, my sin, and not be thankful, and not want to praise him, not want to honor him, not want to do something for him, that fire burning in your heart. Now, I remember I was just an old 22-year-old hippie pothead that got saved. But I tell you, I wasn't saved but a couple hours, and I was telling her about Jesus. When's the last time you told somebody about the Lord? Got into church, got under that good preaching. I was sitting there and thinking, I'd like to do something for the Lord. Something. Cut the grass at the church. Clean a toilet. Pick up some papers. Empty a trash can. You know, people come up and they go, what can I do for the Lord? Why don't you look around? What some of you are really doing is say, what position can I have in the church? Well, there is no positions open. Now, there's plenty of work to be done. There's just no positions. Man, you get dwelling on the Savior and his goodness and his mercy. What about, can we be honest with one another? Do we really deserve to be here this morning? I mean, I'm making an assumption here. Most of us are probably right with God this morning. I said most of us. Look at me. Have we always been right with the Lord?
No.
Was there times he should have taken us, shook us, and said, that's it. I'm done with you. Get over there. And not talked to us one time. But he didn't. He had mercy. He had grace. He had long suffering. He had forgiveness. And he wrapped his arms around us. Hey, there's sometimes, he should have taken us to the woodshed. And he should have beat the devil out of us. Because we were rebellious. We were hard-hearted. We had those wicked things going through our minds. And half the time we suspect he's taking me to the woodshed. And instead, he came and he wrapped his arms around us. And he did something for us. The goodness of God led us to repentance. Nobody in this church has been colder, been away from the Lord like I have, because I'm older than you. It's just that I never got out of church.
Amen.
I never quit doing the ministries.
Amen.
And not because I was spiritual. See, you people, you think you impress others because you're faithful to me. I know you can be carnal as a devil.
Amen.
And they that are in the flesh cannot please God.
Amen.
I was cold. I was backslid. I read my Bible, but I wasn't looking for him to talk to me. I went through a prayer life. I preached 3, 4, 5 times a week. I went on visitation. Cold. He should have beat the devil out of me. What he did is he sent me down to the hospital. And I went down to the hospital because somebody asked me to visit this guy. I didn't want to visit him. I was cold. Who wants to drive 35 minutes down to Polyclinic Hospital? Go in there and talk to this sucker on the bed. He ain't even going to listen to me. But I did because I did my duty. And I went in that hospital, AJ, and that old man was laying there. And he said, "You're Mr. Jeffrey's preacher." I said, "I am." He said, "Thank you for coming." He goes, "I want to get saved." That's not what I was expecting. Dan, I got to lead him to the Lord.
Amen.
I am walking out of that hospital, and I am feeling that small. I am feeling like the wretch that I am. And I got in that little car, and I cried like a baby. And I got right with the Lord.
Amen.
It was the goodness of God.
Amen.
He should have beat the devil out of me, Lori. But he dumped the goodness of God on me.
Amen.
How can you not think on him and keep those fires burning in your heart?
Amen.
You want to live for yourself? You want to live for money? You want to live for sports? You want to live for Disney World? You want to live for Aqua Park? Are you out of your minds? He died for you.
Amen.
I want to keep the fires burning.
Amen.
I'm going to stay in that book, and I'm going to keep talking to the Savior. I'm going to keep walking with the Savior. There's a third point I have on what will keep the fire burning, and I think it's the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Go to Leviticus 24 with me, if you would. Leviticus 24. Y'all remember the furniture in the holy place, tabernacle. What was on the right? Table showbread. What was in front of you? Altar of incense. And to the left was what? Candlestick. Y'all awful. So y'all with me? Are y'all done? Okay, we'll close our eyes. You can slip out, and then I'll preach to the people that want it preaching. Is that okay? Leviticus 24, verse 1. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn" what?
Continually.
"Without the veil of the testimony in the tabernacle of the congregation shall Aaron order it from the evening unto the morning before the Lord continually. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. He shall order the lamps upon the pure candlestick before the Lord continually." We need that spirit of burning in our hearts continually. Listen, you can't come Sunday morning just like the fire. It needs to be burning. Can't go out on visitation and all of a sudden just flip a switch and there comes your fireplace on. That's not how it works. You remember over there in Acts chapter 2, the Feast of Pentecost, after our Lord had ascended, cloven tongues like as of fire came down and did what? Filled them with the Holy Ghost. And then the book of Acts is the Acts of the disciples filled with the Holy Ghost, ushering in the church age. Are we all okay with that? But they were men and women that were what? On fire for God. They weren't church members. They were on fire for God. We need the fire of conviction. Over there in John chapter 16 says that when the Holy Ghost will come, he will reprove, that's convict. He will reprove of sin, of righteousness, of judgment. Guys, you're supposed to live the way you're supposed to live because you love the Lord and because that's what the Bible says. You don't determine what's righteous. God determines what's righteous. You don't determine what's holy. God determines what's holy. And the Holy Ghost convicts you. The pastor's wife came up to me and she said, "Can I talk to you? I'm having a problem. Bill and I are having a problem, and I'd like to get your counsel." I said, "Sure." She said, we have this lady coming. She dresses very provocatively. She dresses very immodestly. And we got all these men and young men around here. I said, whoa. He said, then she goes around and this woman sleeps around. And she says it's okay to sleep around because everybody in the world is doing it. Look at me. If you're sleeping around and I find out about it and you got the guts to come into church, I got the guts to call your name, stand you up, and you got a choice to go to the altar and get right with God or go. Amen. We don't need whores and whoremongers around here. Amen. Are y'all with me? Amen. And listen to me. If you're messing around with pornography, you're fornicating. Amen. Do you hear me? I don't care if you're a man or a woman. If you're messing with pornography, you are guilty of fornication. Amen. It's wicked. I want to meet with the Lord. Amen. And then, so this is what she said to me. She said, now, we have tried to talk to her, but I don't want to hurt her feelings. That's what she said to me. So I said, ma'am, I said, in that case, I'm not at all worried about hurting their feelings. Amen. I'd much rather hurt their feelings than hurt God's feelings. Amen. Amen. So I said, what I would do is load up with the scriptures, what the Bible says about modest dress and what the Bible says about whoring around, and just show her the scriptures. Amen. And so tell her if she's not willing to do that, she's in the wrong place. Amen. Hey, if you're not wanting to live for God, you're in the wrong place. Amen. This isn't a country club. Amen. This isn't a church club. Amen. This is a church. Amen. We're here to live for God, serve the Lord, do something for God. Amen. We're not looking for Sunday morning people to warm a seat. Looking for people to serve God. Amen. Looking for soldiers to fight the good fight of faith. Amen. Am I making any sense? Amen. I don't care what you guys' job are. I don't care. I don't care how much money you make. But that is secondary. Amen. The most important thing is serving Jesus Christ. Amen. The other stuff is just secondary so you can put food on the table. Amen. That is not the most important thing in life. Amen. I don't care what you think. You have been brainwashed by the devil in the world. Serving God, living for God is the best thing in the world. Amen. I tell you, I got no regrets. None about that. We need that Holy Ghost fire of conviction. We need the Holy Ghost fire of transformation. I am not the same man I used to be. Go with me to Galatians. Galatians chapter 5. When you get Galatians 5, get 2 Corinthians 3 with me, if you would, please. Second Corinthians 3 and Galatians 5. Galatians 5. Look at verse number 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Why? Because you've been transformed. Amen. Y'all with me? Amen. You and I are carnal creatures. Amen. We have the Adamic nature. Amen. You just go the way that you let your flesh go, it's always going to be destruction. Because that's what the flesh does. You got to walk in the Spirit to be transformed by the Holy Ghost. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, look at verse 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? There's liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord. Do you understand what it's saying? It's like looking in a mirror. Mike Keenan is looking in a mirror. But it says here, behold, as in a glass, the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Lori, what's supposed to happen is that Holy Ghost is supposed to transform our lives. So when you're looking in that mirror, you're not seeing Mike Keenan, you're seeing the Lord Jesus. We're supposed to live Christ-like lives. Amen. Not selfish, self-centered, me-first lives, Christ-like. I preached on that Talon Basin Friday night, and I was talking about, hey, the cross, the yoke, the Talon, the Basin, they don't lift us up. God's trying to get us to humble down. It wasn't the big shots who washed feet. It was the lowest of the servants. And yet my Lord got down on his hands and knees and washed the apostles' feet. And he says, as you've seen me do, you do it. You humble yourself. That's Christ-like. You want to be spiritual? You got to be Christ-like. Don't tell me you're spiritual and you're not Christ-like. I like to watch. I have a neon flashing light on adults. I watch what kids do with that adult. If kids will go to them freely, they're pretty good. But if they won't go near them, you got a grumpy, mean old man or old woman, that's trouble. Yeah, kids are great indicators, man. We okay? Christ-like, transformed. Before I got saved, I was educated, get a good job, make a lot of money, buy a lot of things, be happy. Lord, transform me. Everything was about getting what I wanted. Now I want to do what God wants. That's transformation. It's not about pleasing myself. It's about pleasing him. Marriage isn't about her doing what I want her to do. Marriage is about me loving her like Jesus loves the church. Me nourishing her and cherishing her and enabling her to blossom, grow as a Christian. Say amen. I lost a bunch of you there, didn't I? She's not the boss. And if your old lady is the boss, you're wicked as hell. You're a sorry excuse for a man. Did you hear me? And I know most of y'all are good women, but every once in a while, you guys are going to have to put your women in their place. Because most of these women, they love God. They read their Bibles. They pray. They got some grit, some backbone. And every once in a while, their backbone will bow up. And you'll do all that you can. And you'll try to explain why you want to do that, how you prayed about it. And she's still bowing up. And then every once in a while, you're going to have to go, that's enough. Get on the bus. We're leaving.
Amen.
You don't like that, do you? It's true.
Amen.
You're a godly lady. Is that true? Is that true? Sometimes he just tells you, Lori, hush. Probably says it a little harsher than that. But get on the bus. Miss Keenan, ever, okay, babe, that's it. This is what we're doing. That's good preaching, preacher.
Amen.
Amen.
Transformation. Holy Ghost, like that fire in your heart. You all believe in sanctification? Dan, you believe in sanctification? Do you believe the Lord has the Holy Ghost has sanctified you? Are you done? Is he done? You're not done yet. Some of you, you think God's done. Oh, you know, you gave up smoking, you gave up drinking, you stopped cussing, you put a dress on, so now you have arrived. I'm sorry.
Amen.
You're wrong.
Amen.
There's a whole lot more work to sanctification than that. You believe in separation?
Amen.
Bible teaches separation.
Amen.
Come out from among them and be. I was at IHOP. I did not wear my jacket over there, but I had my tie and shirt. And so here comes the Floridians. Do you know what the national dress style Floridians is? Shorts, tank tops, flip-flops. Probably a hat. Here comes this older couple. Shorts, tank tops, flip-flops. The man looks at me, obviously looks at me. He goes, boy, you look good. I don't think he was making a pass. I think he was trying to give me a compliment. Get out. I want that fire of conviction from the Holy Ghost. I want that fire of transformation. There needs to be that fire in the spirit of witnessing. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. You know what lots of people say, Pastor Matt? Well, you know, I don't know the Bible good enough to be a witness. Look at me. It says be a witness. Just tell them what happened to you.
Amen.
Did anything happen to you?
Amen.
Well, tell them what happened to you. Amen. You know enough of scriptures that you got saved. Just tell them what happened to you.
Amen.
Let the Holy Ghost do the most. And then there's another spirit of fire that I want. I want that spirit of Isaiah 6. And for time, we won't go there, but you know Isaiah 6. Uzziah saw that vision. That angel took that coal off and put it on Isaiah's tongue. And what did he say when he got that tongue on his fire? Oh, woe is me, remember? But then what he said, the Lord goes, whom shall I send? Who will go for me? And that Holy Ghost had worked in Isaiah. And Isaiah goes, I'll go.
Amen.
I'll go. I want that spirit of serving God. And I don't mean the first year you're saved.
Amen.
I mean the whole life.
Amen.
That you're saved. So what's going to keep the fire going? The scriptures, the Savior, the Spirit of God, that fire of conviction, that fire of transformation, that fire of witnessing, that fire of spirit serving the Lord. I want to ask you something. Are your hearts, or our hearts, or our lives on fire for God? Is our church on fire for God? Anybody ever read about the Welsh revivals? Pastor Matt, have you read about the Welsh revivals? I know you have, Miss Keenan. We have. Anybody else? Do you know how many national revivals Wales had, Dan? National. They had five. They had five national revivals in the country of Wales. A few months ago, I got a letter from a guy. Guess where he was going as a missionary? Wales. Why? The fire went out.
Amen.
Do you know how many national revivals we've had in America? I believe two or three. You know what we're going to soon need? Missionaries coming to America.
Amen.
Why? Because the fire has gone out. You know what you do? You look around. You say, well, this person, this church, this preacher, that pastor, this, that. That's not where you're supposed to be looking.
Amen.
Looking unto Jesus.
Amen.
The author and the finisher. Amen. I don't care if it's Laodicea. I know it's Laodicea.
Amen.
And in fact, I'm getting sick and tired of talking about it.
Amen.
I want to be on fire for the Lord.
Amen.
I read a story back in the early 1800s, a preacher in this town was witnessing to this atheist, and this was going on for several years. He was trying to win that atheist to the Lord, trying to get him to come out and hear him preach. In 2 years, that atheist never went to church. That preacher would have coffee with him. He'd buy him breakfast once in a while. He would try to witness to him, read the scriptures to him. He made no progress with that atheist. One night, that church caught on fire. Well, back in those days, they didn't have fire departments and fire engines. What did they have? Bucket Brigade. So there the town lined up, got in that bucket brigade. Of course, the preacher was in the bucket brigade. He reaches over. Guess who's next to him? That atheist. He turned to that atheist and he said, this is the first time you have ever been on church property. You've never come to church. He goes, the church was never on fire before. I'm telling you, we get on fire, we'll see God do a miracle.
Amen.
Not you. Not you, God.
Amen.
God. What will keep the fire burning? The scriptures, the Savior, the Spirit of God, the saints. The saints will keep the fire burning. Go to Acts. Are y'all done? Look, really, I got a message to preach. I don't want you looking at your watch. Leave if you want to leave. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, look at verse 42 with me, if you would, please. The Bible says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord.
Amen.
in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. What happened to those saints? They got on fire.
Amen.
The saints got on fire for the Lord. In Acts chapter 17, verse 6, you know what it says? It says, these are those that have turned the world upside down.
Amen.
Why? They were on fire.
Amen.
For the Lord. You know what fire does? Now listen, fire begets fire.
Amen.
I have an illustration. This is a true illustration. A friend of mine was starting a church. This was back in the 80s or 90s. And he was meeting in a hotel. You know how they rent those rooms out? And he had a bus. And he tried to bring kids in on that bus. Well, that didn't work out. So he had parked the bus in the back of the hotel. They gave him permission to do that. And the bus sat there for months and months and months. Well, something happened, and the motel calls the preacher on a Saturday. And they say, we want you to move your bus. He goes, okay, we'll do that. When do you want me to move it? They go, today. It's Saturday. The bus hasn't been started for months and months and months. It's an old bus. So he knows he's going to have issues. So he takes a two-gallon can of gasoline, and he takes his toolbox. Do you know this story?
This is a Vince Massa story.
It is. And Vince Massa, he's from Connecticut. And so he gets to the bus, and you know how they do the bus engines? They come down like that. So he gets up, he climbs up on the engine, and he pours gas into the carburetor, and he splashed a little bit. Because he said he was mad. So he got into the bus and he turned the key, rah, 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 nothing. So he gets out and he pours a little more gas into the carburetor and splashes a little bit on the manifold. He did that three times. And when that thing did finally crack in, there was a volcano of fire coming out. Well, that fire caught the spilled gas on the manifold on fire. So Vince grabs a rag, and he gets in there, and he starts beating that thing, trying to get that fire out, and the rag caught on fire. So he throws the rag. He said he could have done that 100 times and never hit that can, but he hit that can. So then the can starts on fire. He goes over and he kicks the can. And the can goes to the curb. And there's just a field there with all the brown stalks and everything. And that caught fire. He knew he had a broom on the bus. So he runs and grabs a broom and starts beating the field to get that fire. And the broom caught fire. Long story short, he did get it out. A guy across the field in some kind of a shop goes, you want me to call the fire company? He goes, I got it under control. Fire produces fire. That's why you should hang around the right people. That's why the Bible says, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners.
Amen.
You want to hang around somebody that's on fire for God.
Amen.
Brother Pastor Matt and Brother Mike hung around each other up there, and they started just two. Before that was done, and you guys were having those meetings on Monday nights, and guys were driving the buses, and guys were going out driving, on visitation on Saturday. How many people were involved in that ministry? Dozens. Because two got on fire. I wouldn't hang around somebody that sports is number one. I wouldn't hang around someone money's number one. I wouldn't hang around someone job is number one. I'd hang around someone who's on fire for God. fire produces fire.
Amen.
The saints.
Amen.
The saints can keep the fire going.
Amen.
Everyone in here has come in here a time or two that the service is dead, people are just dead, tired, whatever the case may be. You could have struck a match.
Amen.
You could have cranked something up.
Amen.
But you just sat there.
Amen.
That's why the Bible says, be ye not unequally yoked together.
Amen.
AJ, you better be careful who you hang around with in that public school, buddy.
Amen.
I find out from your mother you're hanging around guys that are smoking dope or smoking cigarettes or drinking liquor and chasing after women. You're in trouble, bud.
Amen.
Because that's where your heart will be. You better hang around these guys here in the church.
Amen.
You better get on fire for the Lord.
Amen.
But that goes for all. Just because you're in here doesn't mean that you're on fire for God.
Amen.
There's people that sat through this message just as mad as the devil.
Amen.
They're not on fire.
Amen.
So the scriptures, the Savior, the Spirit of God, the saints. You know what else will keep the fire going? The songs of Zion.
Amen.
Go with me to Ephesians chapter 5. The songs of Zion. The songs of the Lord. Ephesians chapter 5. Look with me in verse 18. Ephesians 5, verse number 18. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. I'm hoping that most of y'all have no communications, no with drunks, okay? But because of my past, I have had communications with drunks. You know one of the things that people do when they get drunk? They sing loud. Now, they're not singing church songs, but they will because they're drunk. They're under the influence. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody where? To the Lord. Tim Clare can get up and strum that thing, get some help from his brother on the mandolin, and he can sing, and the Holy Ghost can touch our heart.
Amen.
Because Tim already has a song in his heart.
Amen.
He doesn't just sing at church.
Amen.
He sings at the house, sings in the car,
Amen.
Sings when he's got it in his heart.
Amen.
I've seen people get up that have more talent, more abilities, but no God, because it's a performance. It's not a ministry. I would have a song in your heart. Now, I can't sing like Tim, but I can sing in my heart. Do you remember in 2 Kings chapter 3, Jehoshaphat was with one of those kings of Israel, and the enemy was coming, and the king of Israel said this, and Jehoshaphat said, isn't there some man of God around? And so they got Elisha. And Elisha said to the king of Israel, he said, hey, if it wasn't for Jehoshaphat, I would not be wasting my time here with you. Do you remember that story? And so Jehoshaphat said, Elisha, I don't know what to do. And he said, bring me a minstrel. Y'all know what a minstrel is? Okay. And he started singing, the minstrel did, playing. And the Bible says the hand of the Lord came upon the preacher. I hope that y'all have had many times when you've been at the house, or maybe in the car, and you've had whatever you list play on. I used to say the radio, and then they said the tape player, and then they said the CD player, but now it's everything's off the phone, and I don't really care. But I hope there's been times it was just you and that song playing.
Amen.
And you had a fit in the Lord.
Amen.
You just couldn't help yourself.
Amen.
Just start crying or praising the Lord or raise your hands. Because the song's in your heart.
Amen.
It's in your heart. But you know, music can also drive the Lord away.
Yeah.
The wrong music.
Amen.
I love Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock,
Amen.
And established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth. Even praise unto our God, many shall see it and fear, shall trust in the Lord. Put a new song in my heart. What a wonderful change in my heart has been since Jesus came into my heart. Boy, I wish I could sing. I shouldn't just sing that at church. I should sing that at home when I'm in the car. What a wonderful change in my heart. Or maybe you're just going down the road on your way to work. Singing I go along life's road, praising the Lord, praising the Lord. Maybe you're out witnessing, trying to get somebody to come to church. We have heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Maybe you and your wife are just having a little bit of a disagreement. The fight is, no. I'll wipe that one out. Backtrack that. I couldn't help. Maybe you've gone through a test, some trials, troublesome times. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, Thou hast taught me to say, it is well. Amen. It is well with my Lord.
Amen.
Want to keep that fire going?
Amen.
You need the mind.
Amen.
The scriptures. The Savior. The Spirit of God. The saints. Have a good effect on somebody.
Amen.
Don't have a bad effect on them.
Amen.
Songs of Zion. Listen to the right music.
Amen.
Get it down in your heart. His old paths united together, one heart, one accord, that we want the fire of God.
Amen.
I hope we are. Let's pray.